a reminder, as you can see in the second passage there, second verse of Galatians, that this epistle is written to multiple churches in Galatia, in this region here. This is unlike some of Paul's other letters or epistles that were written to one church. This is written to multiple churches in Galatia. And we also know by reading other passages in there that there were also some lost people, unbelievers in the congregation there as well, that's going to be dealt with later. Something else to note about this book here, that Paul does not refer to anyone as saints as he does in some of his other epistles. You can look back at some of Paul's other writings, and he would greet the saints. He would greet them in that manner. And also, Paul would normally praise the believers in some of his other epistles and thank God for them for such and such, or for this or for that. But you don't find that in the book of Galatians. What you find is almost immediately Paul is having to straighten out some major doctrinal error. And this doctrinal error is these Judaizers have come into the church, and they're perverting the gospel, they're distorting the gospel, they're changing the gospel message. And Paul said two times that if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. I think that's pretty important. If he said it one time, that those who preach a false gospel and teach a false gospel should be accursed. But if he says it two times, I believe it's a good sign that you and I should pay very close attention to individuals, to preachers, to teachers who are preaching another gospel. And you say, why that's important? Why? Because our foundation, everything we stand on, our salvation, our eternity is built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how we receive salvation. And there's many preachers, many teachers, so-called, that are preaching other gospels, preaching false gospels. And in a day and age that we live in now, it's not uncommon that you drive 5 minutes down the road from now, and you ask from here, and you ask the pastor or the preacher or the Sunday school teacher, what is the gospel? And they can't tell you. Or they give you a wrong gospel. And Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So he's coming in to straighten out these false doctrines, this false teaching, and that also that the book of Galatians is written to establish that there's no works that you and I or anyone can perform in order to get saved. Nothing. No matter the amount, no matter the quality, no matter the quantity, there's no works that an individual can do to please God, to give him eternal life, but by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, with that being said, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing that you and I can do to keep salvation. Amen? God gives it to us freely by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and God promised that he'll give us eternal life. He's going to keep us. He's the author and what? Finisher of our faith. I don't have to worry about my salvation. It's the Lord's salvation. I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, but thank God that there's nothing that I have to continue in order to stay saved. I'm saved, I'm safe, and I'm secure. Thank God for that. But look what Paul says there. He says that this gospel, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. He says in verse 4, we looked at this previously. Verse 4 says, who gave himself for what? Our sins. Isn't that a blessing that Jesus Christ voluntarily gave himself for our sins? Not for his sins. He had none. You and I had many, innumerable, multitudes of sins. And he gave himself. He voluntarily became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But listen, the verse does not stop there. God did not just give his son Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the entire world. He did. But he also gave his son Jesus Christ. Why? Look at the verse. That he might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. You say, well, I'm saved and I still live in the world. Well, God still wants to deliver you from what? This present evil world. Well, how does he deliver you? He wants to keep you unspotted from the world. That ought to be the desire of every Christian, that we do not get tainted, we do not get corrupted, our minds do not get polluted by what? This present evil world. And God's desire would be that Jesus Christ would not only die for our sins, but deliver us from this wicked, evil, ungodly world that we live in. But listen, not only that, he does not want us to be conformed to this world. He does not want us to be changed by this world. He does not want the Christian, listen, there's a lot of Christians that I run into and I have conversations with, and guess what? They think just like the world. And whether they're saved or not, I can't tell. But if they give me a clear testimony of salvation, how they received Jesus Christ, why is their mind conformed to this world, and why is their mind not conformed to the Scriptures? That's the age we live in. Individuals say, I'm a Christian, I know Jesus, I'm born again, I'm saved, but they think just like the world. And Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was what? Which was also in Christ. How do you get the mind of God? By the Word of God. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed, Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. So Paul says for us, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Listen, he never took us out of here. We're here, right? We've got to live in the world. We have to shop in the world. We have to work in the world. But God's desire is that while we are still in the world, that he will deliver us from this evil world. That ought to be your desire as well. But I want you to see what Paul goes on further to say. In verse number 6, he says, I marvel. Now that word marvel means I'm amazed. I'm surprised. Now, he's going to say exactly what he's marveling over, what he's surprised, why he's amazed. It's kind of perplexing, but it's good if somebody's in amazement when you do something good, right? Man, I'm really surprised. Man, I marvel. I mean, that's a great thing. But look what he says about these believers here in these churches. He says, I marvel that ye are what? So soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, notice, unto another gospel. Paul was in shock. Paul was amazed that so soon, how quickly that they were removed from the truth, they were removed from sound doctrine, and they shifted to wrong doctrine. Isn't it amazing that you see people that are in the truth and you believe they're saved and they're walking in the light and it appears they're fellowshipping with the Lord, and then all of a sudden they just spiritually fall off the deep end? It's one thing to see individuals to go aside from right doctrine and that have been with right doctrine for 10 years or 15 or 20 years. That's tragic when you see somebody that known the truth and then walk away from it after all those years. Would you agree? But what Paul's saying here about these individuals, he said they're so soon removed, quickly. Isn't it amazing how sometimes you see people and they're in the truth and they've got the right gospel, they've got the right Bible, they've got the right doctrine, and then that quick, they're gone? That's what Paul was writing to these individuals in Galatia. He says, I'm amazed that you knew the truth, you knew the right gospel, you had the right doctrine, but now you're so soon removed. I don't understand it. I marvel. I'm perplexed that ye moved into another gospel. But notice what he says about that. He says they moved to another gospel. But look at the first part of the verse. In verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. I'm going to read that again. So these individuals did not only leave the right gospel, not only leave the right doctrine and sound teaching, but look who else they departed from. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from what? From him that called you into the grace of Christ. Well, not only did they leave and transition to another gospel, which is not another, a perverted gospel, the wrong gospel, guess who else they departed from? When they left the gospel, they left God, who called them unto the grace of Jesus Christ. So you have to realize when an individual starts preaching and teaching and believing another gospel, we'll look at it in a few weeks what that gospel is, And I hope you know it. I hope you believe it. I hope you trusted it. Not only do they leave the gospel message, they left, they departed from Him, the individual that, look, called you into the grace of Christ. Who called you and I into the grace of Christ? God Himself. The Lord Himself. So I want to look at just a few moments this morning, this subject. Who has called you? Who hath called you from Him that called you? God called them by the gospel. That calling is a what? It's an invitation to the gospel. It's an invitation to believe the truth. And they departed from the individual that called them. Now, how many of you, by show of hands, have ever heard some Christian, or maybe you even use this terminology, that has, God has called me to do such and such? If you have, most of y'all, God has called me. God is calling me here, or has God called you, or God called them to the mission field, or God called me to be the pastor, or God called me to this church. And I understand that verbiage. I understand that terminology. And a lot of times that calling is used to describe a path that the individual believes that the Lord has intended for them, right? God is calling me here, so we're going to Africa to be missionaries, to plant churches, or God has called me here to pastor this church over here, and I'm going to be the pastor because the Lord has called me, or God has called me to another church, we're leaving this ministry, so on and so forth. And I understand that it's used in terms of location or service or whatever that is. But this calling that Paul is referring to is the calling of salvation. He called them into the grace of Christ, okay? I want you to see something about that calling. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who hath called you? Who hath called you, Paul said, into the grace of Christ? Now, I'll be honest with you that sometimes when I hear that, and even times in my life I say that really I'm unsure sometimes about the calling of God. Sometimes I don't think it's really clear in an individual's life. Maybe there's some Bible you have, maybe there's some open doors, maybe there's some wise counsel that you took, and maybe there's some confirmation that you received that you were sure that this was God's calling on your life. This is what the Lord wanted you to do. But if you'll be honest with me as well, wouldn't you admit sometimes you really just don't know what God wants you to do? Sometimes it's, I don't know, Lord, do you want us here? Do you want us to do this? I mean, now there are some things in my Christian life and that we find through the scriptures that are just clear as day that we know that God wants us to do. God desires for us to do. It is the perfect will of God for us to do these things. And those are laid out in the scriptures, and we'll see those in a few minutes, but sometimes it's clear as mud and I really don't know what to do. I heard a preacher say one time, sometimes people are waiting for the call of God and they want this light to shine down from heaven, and they want this voice to come out of the clouds and say, I'm calling you here. But sometimes God doesn't work that way, right? I heard him say, he said, why don't you just go where you think God's calling you and see if God calls you back? I like that. See if God shuts the door. That's a pretty good concept. And sometimes we don't know the calling in our life, but here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a very clear call. It's a very distinct call, and Paul even established that call in Galatians was these believers were called into the grace of Christ. But look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at two verses. Verse 13. Now look at Paul writing to these saints there. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, don't stop reading, okay? This is not the beginning of the world. This is not the beginning of time, okay? This is not God choosing individuals like Calvinism teaches, that God arbitrarily chooses some before the foundation of the world for heaven and some for eternal damnation. This is not what the verse is implying. I'm going to show you immediately why that's not the case. He says, but God hath chosen, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now how? How did God choose you to salvation? Look what he says. through sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. If an individual wants salvation, if an individual wants to receive eternal life, guess what the prerequisite is? Guess what they must do? Believe the truth. They were not ordained salvation before the foundation of the world. God did not choose some for salvation and some for damnation. An individual salvation and eternity is contingent upon believing the truth. And when you believe the truth, guess what? God chooses you. He chooses you in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, God doesn't just pick and choose. I love you. I love you. I hate you. I hate you. Heaven, heaven, hell, 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 heaven. That's not how the God of the Bible works. Amen. So he says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You want to know something profound? You know why some people don't have salvation? Because they never believed the truth. They rejected it. They put it off. They mocked it. They scoffed it. They've had opportunity, but they would not receive the truth. You receive it, God will receive you. Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me to what? I will in no wise cast out. Simple. But look what he says there in verse 14. Whereunto he called you by what? Our gospel. There's the calling. There's the invitation. He called you by our gospel. Notice, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did you believe the truth? By hearing the gospel call. How did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? By believing the call of the gospel, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He called you by the gospel. I'd say this. You heard the gospel. You heard the call. You received the call. You believed it. And guess what God did? He gave you eternal life by hearing the gospel call. Paul says in Galatians, he says, who hath called you into the grace of Christ. You want to get in the grace of Christ? You want to receive the grace of Christ? You must answer the gospel call. Amen? It's a urgent call. Would you agree the gospel call is urgent? For those that are going to be called into the gospel, it's an urgent call. We must make the message urgent. Why? Because tomorrow is not guaranteed for anyone. It's not only an urgent call, it's an important call. It's a universal call. It's a call for all. The gospel call. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I'll tell you something else about this call. Some have heard the call, but guess what they did? They rejected the call. Some have heard the call, but guess what? They were busy and said, I'll do it later. Talk to me about it later. Maybe tomorrow. I had a guy just tell me yesterday. He told me yesterday in the French Quarter, we were preaching on the streets, passing out gospel literature. He says, I'm going to wait to my deathbed. I said, what makes you think that you're going to make it to your deathbed and you can call on Jesus Christ? I said, you're playing with your eternity. I said, you're a fool to think that you're going to just call on God whenever you think you're going to call on God. Corinthians says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You might die in a car wreck on the way here and have no deathbed experience. What a travesty that an individual is so foolish that they think the time's on their side and they're going to call on Jesus Christ at their last dying moments like he's the thief on the cross. What a fool to think that. The call is now. The call is important. The call is urgent. The call is for everyone. Some have heard the call, but you know what some have did when they heard the call? Guess what they said? Not for me. Just like when you receive those spam calls. Nope, wrong number. Not for me. You know what some people do? They hear the gospel call. They say, no, not me. I'm good. I don't need to hear the call. I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I've never ate anybody. I'm good. I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer. The problem is they never heeded the call. And the call is to get them into Christ. The call is to give them salvation. How? By believing the truth. I'd say the last thing, which is very sad in our country, some have never heard the gospel call. Some have never heard the gospel call. Why is that? We live in America. There's a church in every corner. You can get a Bible at Walmart. You can get a Bible at Kmart. You can get a Bible at the dollar store. You can get tracts. Some have never heard the gospel call. Why? Because Christians have neglected their duty and their obligation to sound the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are individuals every day that you and I encounter that have never heard the call of the gospel because we have never opened our mouth. Paul said he called you into Christ. How? By the gospel. Well, look at this second calling in the Christian life. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this second calling in the Christian's life. You say, am I called? You're called into the grace of Christ. Is God calling me? Oh, yes, God's calling you. Are you listening? Is he getting a busy signal? Is it off the hook? He's calling you, Christian. He's calling you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. God is calling. Are you going to heed? Look at verse 9 when you're there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Paul told those Galatians, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. That's some pretty good credentials, would you say? For a man to say, listen, you know, and God knows exactly how we conducted ourselves, exactly how we behaved in our in your presence. We were in samples. We were examples. We were a good testimony. No one could say otherwise. The way we handled ourselves like Christians, like we should, and holily and justly and unblameably, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Notice, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So Paul is writing to these believers and at this church in Thessalonica, and he's saying, listen, our behavior was model behavior. Our conduct was top-notch Christian character. You know it. God knows it. I'm not lying. We behaved ourselves exactly how we should. And that should be said of you and I, right? Amen. God expects us to conduct ourselves in a certain way. And if individuals see it, we know God sees it, right? We know God sees how we deal with each other and how we deal with problems and how we deal with other Christians. He says, we were holy. We were justly. We were unblameably. You can't point your finger at us and say, we did this and we did that. Paul said, no. God knows. And he says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged you, every one of you as a father doth his children. So Paul, as a spiritual father, is admonishing, is exhorting these believers. He's encouraging them. He's provoking them, okay, that they should, look what it says, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God. Wow. So you mean to tell me that Paul just gave his credentials, his testimony, his example of Christian conduct, and he says, we're doing the same thing to you. We're trying to urge you that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath what? Look, called you unto his kingdom and glory. But back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. Look at what Paul says. You really need to read the beginning of chapter 2. For time's sake, we can't do that this morning. But really need to see the whole chapter in context and see the behavior of the Apostle Paul. I want you to notice his example that we started off with in verse 9. He says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Wow. Not only did Paul preach, not only did Paul plant churches, Not only did Paul publicly proclaim the gospel and disciple individuals, believers, you know what Paul did? He worked night and day. He labored. He did not want to look like he was just in it for what? The money. Too many preachers, too many Christians have entered ministry with this idea that I'm going to go into the ministry without having to work, without having to labor. And I'm going to use God's people and God's money as a free ride. That's not ministry. That's an hireling. Paul was unafraid to work night and day because he didn't want them to say, well, you just in it for the money. Now, so many preachers are, would you agree? So many Christians are. Modern TV evangelists, many view this ministry as not a calling. They view it as a corporate entity. They're in it for the bucks. I heard a preacher say one time, if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. But we have got to get away from this idea that ministry is only for monetary gain. That's not ministry. And Paul says, listen, here's our example. I worked myself night and day to give you an example to work, to labor, to travail, that I would not be chargeable unto you. And that's, guess what else he says? He goes on a little further. He says, you're witnesses. God knows it. You know it. He goes, as verse 11 again, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who called you unto his kingdom and his glory. He's trying to urge these Christians in the way they should live as a father doth his children, to compel them to live and act worthy, to live worthy. So listen, it just goes without saying, but verse number 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom. He called you in his kingdom. If an individual Christian is capable of walking worthy of God, would you agree that individual Christian and individual Christians can walk unworthy of God? It's only natural that there's two walks, there's two manner of lives, and they're both on display for the whole church to see. You're not hiding it. Paul said, listen, you know how we acted, you know how we behaved. And he said, we walk worthy. Why? Because God hath called us unto his kingdom. You've been called into the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom. Isn't that reason enough that you and I are in the kingdom of God, that we should walk worthy of God? For the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. This spiritual kingdom deserves our utmost attention, how we conduct ourselves in the kingdom of God. Why? God hath called us unto his kingdom and his glory. And Paul sets the example for every believer, the way they should live, the way they should work, the way they should walk, because we've been called into the kingdom. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Has God called you? Oh, he's called every Christian. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just a few things, few areas where God has called every Christian, every believer. No one's exempt. This isn't just for the preachers. This isn't just for the Sunday school teachers. This isn't just for the men of the church. This is for everyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ has been called in these areas of their life. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is going to be the last one this morning, and we'll continue next week, Lord willing. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him, notice, who hath called you. How did he call you? What did he call you from? Out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past, verse 10, were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Christian, you and I are a chosen generation. We are to be a peculiar people. We are to be different from the world. We're to be separate from the world. We're to be unlike the world. But notice what he says in the last part of verse 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him. Listen, show forth the praises of him that called you. Do you think God, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise? Is that praise just private praise? Is that praise just on Sunday and on Wednesdays and maybe just in our car a little bit or just in our home? Is that praise just limited to when we come to church? No. He said, you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, you've got one reason. If you only have one reason to praise the Lord publicly, if you only had one, and I know we've got more than one, right? We've got plenty. We've got many reasons that you and I can praise the Lord publicly, praise the Lord privately, but if there is one reason, this verse is implying that you and I can praise the Lord, that God have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not just his light, marvelous, wonderful, amazing light. Do you realize before you were saved, you and I were in darkness, in bondage, in sin, in chains to Satan, ourself, and sin, and God called us through the gospel. We heard the call, we believed the call, and he took us from darkness to light. He took us from being deceived to knowing the truth. He took us from a child of Satan to a child of God. He took us out of the devil's family into God's family. Isn't that enough, Christian, that you and I can praise the Lord Jesus Christ and show forth those praises? Amen. Thank you, Brother Noah. Listen, you know there's some passages there in the Old Testament that talks about if the people won't praise God, the rocks will cry out. Now, how about that? The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath ordained praise. There's a prime example. Listen, you and I should be willing and able and desiring to praise the Lord Jesus Christ on a consistent basis. And that praise should not only be private, that praise should be public. Why? Because God has called us out of the dungeon. He's called us out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth and establish my goings. And because he's done so, I should be able to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you. You know what happens when you remove yourself from the gospel of Jesus Christ and you remove yourself from the death, the burial, and the resurrection and the truth? You remove yourself from the one that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God deserves our praise this morning, Christian. God deserves our praise every day, not just Sunday. I hear people say all the time, I see it all the time, and I know what they mean, but it's not scripturally sound. They say, oh, today's the Lord's day. Today? Just Sunday? What about Monday? Tuesday? Is that not, whose day is that? Is that yours or the devil's? Oh, it's the Lord's day. No. Every day should be the Lord's day. Every day's the Lord's. Oh, I'm going to church to praise the Lord. What were you doing yesterday? You wait till Sunday to praise the Lord? Why can't you praise the Lord Tuesday at 6 o'clock? Why do you wait till Sunday at 11? People are strange. He said he called us out of darkness. That's enough for me to say, praise you, Lord. You're worthy. I was in darkness. I don't know about some of you. I was in outer darkness, utter darkness, dark darkness. And God called me out of that. And he didn't just leave me in darkness. He took me from darkness to light. Now I can praise him. What a blessing. Go back to Galatians. We'll read that one passage and we're done. Galatians 1, verse 6. Is God calling you? He's called you to be holy. We never looked at that one this morning, but we'll look at it next week, Lord willing. He said, called you to be holy. Be you holy, for I'm holy. But look what he says in verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. God has called you into the grace by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God hath called you into his kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. And God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light so we can show forth the praises of God, the testimony of God, what God is willing and able to do when somebody believes the gospel. What a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll have a break. Lord, we thank you for your word once again. God, thank you that you called. Thank you, more importantly, that we've had the sense and the wisdom enough to answer the call, Lord God, to not to stay in darkness, but to receive your Son, Jesus Christ. And you said, as we received him, so we ought to walk in him. Help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus Christ and less like ourselves. Help us to blame less on our personality and our upbringing and our culture, Lord God. Help us to stop blaming the sin nature and the old man. Help us to show forth praises unto him, Jesus Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're worthy to be praised. No one else is. Not Muhammad, not Mary, not Buddha, not Allah. Only Jesus Christ can do what has been done in our lives, and it's only by the glory of God and by the grace of God. We ask that you bless us this morning with preaching and teaching from your word, and help us to lift up our voices and sing praises unto you, for you are worthy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.